Welcome to the CityDAO podcast. I'm your host, Eric Gilbert Williams. CityDAO is exploring decentralized asset ownership on chain, starting with a simple piece of land purchased in Wyoming during 2021. Each parcel of land becomes an NFT that can be owned collectively by the DAO or by individuals, just like you and me. CityDAO is a DAO. In other words, it's a decentralized autonomous organization, meaning that land governance, treasury, and other things, including this show you're listening to right now, are all managed by the community. Check out the FAQ at citydao.io to learn more, or check out the CityDAO Discord channel to get all the latest updates. Now let's get started with the show. With us here today on the CityDAO podcast is the first, the one and the only founding citizen of CityDAO, Justin Kaland. Every project needs someone to take the first financial leap, someone to put themselves out there and take some financial risk, true skin in the game. And as a startup founder myself, and for other founders listening to this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, we get an idea, we get a small team, we bootstrap day by day, skip sleep, skip lunch, cancel social events. Coffee becomes its own food group. It's a 7 day a week grind. And there comes a time when no matter how hard a project we work on a project, we just simply need some funding. And this is where inspired individuals like Justin come into play. They take the leap of faith and say, I believe in this project and I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. And that simple act of providing early stage startup capital breathes life into the foundations of your project. So on behalf of all the 10,000 citizen holders here at CityDAO, thank you, Justin, for helping this project come to life. How you doing, man?
Good, Eric. Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, anytime. It is a lot of people that have been wanting to hear more about what you have to say and how the foundations of your involvement in this project are. And just tell us the story, man. How'd you find CityDAO?
Well, it was early August. I'm a bit of a DAO nut. I spend a lot of time on Twitter just looking for anybody starting a DAO, thinking about a DAO, as well as on Mirror, like reading what they're doing. I remember when I ran across CityDAO, joined the Discord, checked it out, and immediately I was excited about it because of the type of people it was attracting. It was bringing people in from outside of crypto, which is something I'm really looking for and things that I get involved in. Bringing in real estate professionals, legal professionals, all these people that were jumping in going, holy cow, I get the DAO thing now. Like, I want to be a part of this. I'm not a technical person. I'm not a crypto person. How can I be involved? How can I help out? Which was super exciting to me.
And I saw on your Twitter, anyone listening, check out Justin's Twitter. He's got this neat article that talks a little bit about this subject, about the walled garden. What is a walled garden in the concept of this tech ecosystem, the blockchain ecosystem, and how does it apply to CityDAO?
Most new technologies start off in a walled garden. I would say crypto is definitely in a walled garden. It has been since Bitcoin was founded. I've been playing around in crypto for about 10 years. It's a very big hurdle to get into crypto, right? Like, you got to get a wallet, you got to find a bank that'll let you spend the money. It's getting easier these days, but it's still hard. So getting in is difficult. It's walled off. And the people that are inside of the garden in a new technology often don't tend to see that because they get inside and they're building products for themselves. You got things like DeFi, where a lot of the use cases, a lot of the users are people that are already in crypto. And you just end up with this very beautiful garden with very beautiful products, but it's walled off and the outside world doesn't catch onto it yet. And eventually you have this tipping point where people see it. It breaks through the wall. I think in the article, I say cracks. You get cracks in the wall and you get little pieces of light. And then people are like, oh, holy cow, this is great. Wow, this actually has application. And in my world, not often that in that crypto nerd world, what can I do with this? And that's definitely something I look for and something that I think CityDAO fills.
And I know that you're doing a lot of work in different DAOs right now. This is a big passion for you. And I think you mentioned that you're doing a shift right now to do more full-time into, you know, supporting DAOs in general. Is that right?
I am. I'm finally making the leap of just leaving the Web2 world behind. I'm probably a little late to that. I should have done it a couple of years ago. Like I said, I've been in crypto for a while, but it was always a side thing. It was always a hobby. As like a serial founder, all of my startups, mostly in gaming, were Web2. I never really did anything, never founded anything serious that was Web3. Now that's obviously shifting for a lot of people. And I've made the decision to just go full DAO, go full decentralized projects and see what I can accomplish.
Yeah, I remember the first time I fully believed and understood where this was going. I was running another company that was not in tech at all. And it just struck me. And I had to kind of stop what I was doing and make a big life decision to shift over and take this leap. If we go back through your history, I mean, you're a technical person. You've been a CTO. Can we just recap through your work history here going through? I think you were doing some stuff with Empire Minecraft and Game Loop. Like, what is Empire Minecraft? What is Game Loop? And how did it lead to this?
Yeah. So I started off as an entrepreneur, I guess, really young. pretty typical American story. Young kid likes to start businesses and try to hustle and make money. And as part of that, like I needed to build things. It was when obviously Web 2 was being called finally like the full web. So I started to learn to program and got more and more technical. And I was also a young teenage male, so I was super into gaming. So naturally, I went to gaming first. The first, like I would say, serious startup I ever started was called Game Crib. And it was back when Facebook was just rolling. There was still MySpace. And there was a lot of niche social networks for just different things. Like this one was for gaming. You could have a social network for golfing. Just a time when everybody wanted to make a social network specific to some industry. It didn't work out in the end. Obviously, we all know that we ended up with just a couple mega social networks, but it was cool. And it taught me a lot about community, right? Because building a community around a product is, it's difficult, it's hard. And I kind of just always stuck with that. So for 15 years, it was gaming, everything from Game Crib to even working for some already established startups. One was Worldwinner in Boston, which later became GSN Digital. That was during like the social gaming boom. Empire Minecraft was actually kind of an accident. And very interesting, ended up selling that to a company called Starless. We were just building gaming communities and custom server software for the Minecraft game. This was back before Microsoft acquired it. And again, they all come back to the same root of like building communities, coordination between communities, managing communities. I had a lot that's on my resume that's not on my resume, a lot of different failures and stuff most entrepreneurs do. And everything from like hardware storage devices to energy to just all over the map. So, and I'm actually serving right now as a CTO in a startup in Munich. It's 22 people. We build event software for events and festivals. It's nothing to do with Web3 or decentralization.
Back to that article you wrote, you talked a little bit about communities being a source of, well, essentially changing the shape of how leadership worked. In the past, we'd have a single startup founder or a couple founders that would sort of top down lead everything, for lack of a better word. And you think you're suggesting now, and we're seeing this more and more with DAOs, that when we have a community-led initiative, what is the role of leadership now in a community-led initiative?
Yeah, I think it's probably the one topic that I focus on the most across many different DAOs is how does coordination and leadership work in this decentralized world? As I matured as an entrepreneur and started to get into more of like consulting and even some angel investing and stuff, I learned this open secret that like a startup is about the team, right? The team is the product. The killer product of any startup is really the team. Big VCs and stuff, they invest on the team that founded it, not necessarily in the product or service itself. I think with DAOs, what you see is the killer product is the community. It's no longer the founder. And as you said, I mentioned technocratic founders. It's no longer a couple of founders that are the product. It's the whole community itself. I think it's the biggest pain point right now for DAOs. I mean, DAOs are new. I like to explain that DAOs are sort of teenagers. And when teenagers become adults and they move out, we all did it. Like we throw away all advice that our parents give us, grandparents, anything they tell us life advice, we're like, yeah, right. We don't need that. We can figure it out for ourselves. DAOs are in that space now where they're like, no, we don't want anything to do with the Web 2. Like traditional startups suck, like decentralization, vote on everything. And some of that idealism is a little blind. And you get into this sort of scenario where you're solving problems that we've solved in Web 2 over decades of throwing out the baby with the bathwater, I think is the common saying. And I think a lot of DAOs are seeing that now. How do you lead a DAO that doesn't have a technocratic founder? Like, how does that look? And every DAO is experimenting in different ways. I don't think there is any solution that fits every single DAO, but there does need to be leadership. And DAOs aren't a lack of leadership. They're an abundance of leadership. It's actually the opposite. Instead of having one CEO or two founders, you have a whole arsenal. For example, CityDAO, the core team right now is 8 people, which isn't a lot, but that's 8 people more or less on the same level that in a traditional startup, you would have one person on or 2 people on, and then a whole nother crowd of 10,000 citizens that are voting on things and looking at everything that those 8 are doing. They can see every financial transaction, every decision, like, yeah.
So I've been a startup founder for my whole life. And there was always this joke, you know, my friends would say, oh, you're the boss, you're in charge of everything. And in a way that's true, but in reality, no, I'm a slave to my customers and my team, right? I have to make sure everyone's happy every single day. And when I first discovered the concept of a DAO and realized that I could have voting rights and an impact on a community, because for everyone listening, just a reminder, I'm just a citizen here, right? I'm part of the community. I'm a citizen ticket holder, and I'm just trying to help out. So it was really exciting to me to think that, wow, I can actually influence the direction of this project and be a part of it in a big way. That's very exciting. From a leadership perspective, though, a leader now of a DAO is 10,000 people, or however many people are involved in that DAO, they all think they're leaders too. And in a way they are. So somehow a leader of a DAO has to coordinate 10,000 voices that each feel respectfully entitled, for lack of a better word, to have their voice heard, respected, and integrated. So the task now of a leader of a DAO becomes, let's say in the old world, I'll say the old world, was to create a vision that and lead it forward that kind of kept everyone happy in a compromise. But now you have thousands of people trying to voice their opinion. How do you coordinate the voice of 1,000 people? What do you think of that subject? I mean, you're getting deep into DAOs, and maybe you could describe a little bit about this new wave and evolution of leadership.
I think it's hard. It turns founders into politicians is what I like to say, because you spend more time as a political figure in a community trying to wrangle people into a certain belief, into a certain direction. And a lot of that has to do with the DAO itself and how it was originally structured. To give some examples, ENS just became a DAO. They performed it in a very, what I would say, it was a great fashion where they made everybody delegate as they claimed their tokens. They had a thin but very strong core set of rules when they started, a constitution. I'm sorry, I don't remember what they called it. They didn't call it a constitution, but you know, they had that to start with. And I think that works great. On the other hand, you can have DAOs, and some of them I'm involved in, and I won't mention them by name, where they're so decentralized that nobody could possibly lead. And you just end up with too many voices and too many things in the room. But it's a great question. I wish there was like an easy answer. I think just like in the conventional startup world, there's no magic formula. If there was, then everybody would be perfect. I think it depends on the DAO, what they're doing, what they're building. And I also think that's why you've seen some of the more successful DAOs really be sort of this hybrid approach where you have a core normal startup building things, building products, and then you have a DAO component of it that's voting on the more important things, stuff like that. Sometimes I'd even say Ethereum is a similar comparison to that. Like Ethereum itself is a decentralized protocol where people vote just like in a DAO. They vote on whether or not they mine, what rules they respect, everyone in the network's voting. But then you also have the Ethereum Foundation, which is very much a traditional hierarchy. They're ambassadors, they're building products, they're funding initiatives. Like they're doing all of those things that you would see a more conventional startup do, while you have the decentralized protocol voting and managing itself. I think that's a good place for a lot of DAOs to be.
When I think about it, there's a lot of different mindsets that people embody when getting involved with a DAO. You know, some of them jump in speculatively, financially, and have no interest in community. Some of them are fully community focused, and that's their core and their modus operandi, and they get excited about building. And for me, when I look at specifically CityDAO, I feel like I'm a scientist. I feel like all of us are just scientists. This has never really been done before. We're experimenting, we're trying things. Some work, some don't. We learn from it, we apply it, and then we do another experiment and see what works and what doesn't work, and then apply that over and over. And it's almost easy in that context to criticize if something doesn't work or something's not super smooth. But I think it's really important to recognize this is an experiment. We are working together on this. There's a lot of people on it. What do you think about that concept? Do you feel like a scientist in this, or do you feel a little bit differently and have a different view on how to approach a DAO?
I feel like a scientist, and I feel like just a really enthusiastic kid that like found some great new toy. Yes, especially with CityDAO, it feels like experimentation. It is. I hate for that, but CityDAO itself is an experiment, right? It's a grand experiment because it's not only taking this new world of DAOs and inside the walled garden and this decentralization, but it's taking it into the real world. Like now we're having to interact with old world government, land deeds systems, like all of these things, laws. So we're not only figuring out DAOs, but we're also figuring out how DAOs will then come into the real world meat space, whatever you want to call it. And to me, that's a very exciting place, but it is a massive amount of experimentation. And I think the most people that come to CityDAO should have that in mind. There is no single 10-year roadmap at all. It's an experiment and there's going to be ups. I would say it's been ups right now. It's exploded into popularity quite fast. And there's going to be downs. And there's always going to be an element of people that aren't happy with the direction or that are upset. To them, it may appear that some things are slow or that it's not going in the approach that they think it should go in. And there's always going to be that. But I also think that's a positive. Like in a traditional startup, the founders can make dumb decisions. It's easy to make dumb decisions. You've made dumb decisions, I'm sure. I've definitely made a lot of dumb decisions with my own startups. And it was like the buck starts and stops with you. I think one of the cool things about a DAO is like, yeah, you can make dumb decisions, but they're collective dumb decisions. And having every, what would normally be an employee, but here we'll say a DAO members, having a say in what the decision is going to be, I think in the end, it just gets us to a better place. It ends with a better result. More brains, the better.
So if we loop back for a second, when you were first discovering CityDAO, how did you meet the founders and how did you sort of stumble across the project?
I just started hanging out in the Discord. I found through Twitter, I'm a DAO nut. I was going through, I probably look at 10 to 20 DAOs a week. It's way too much, but I'm just so excited about the space and what's going on. And I was looking for very particular things. And when I saw CityDAO, I was like, great, this is awesome. I joined in the Discord. It was very early, not a lot of people, but the early people were, I could tell, had the right hearts and the right vision. They were in it for the right things. It wasn't in it for quick flip, quick financial gain. There's definitely a lot of DAO startups that way. And this was, I believe, the beginning of August. I'm not great with dates. And so I just started hanging out and that's how I met everybody.
And how did that process work of the first citizen, the founding citizen? Because I actually don't know personally. I'm not sure, you know, how that came about. Was it like an exclusive invite or was there a bunch of people like you trying to support the project in that way? What was that process?
I was still an outsider pretty much when that came about. So I was participating in the Discord. I wasn't on the core team and I was just hanging out and there was a lot of talk about, when I was contributing to this talk of like, how do we build like the most minimum viable sort of product to show that this whole process can work? And kind of what was agreed on was like, let's get together about $200,000 and buy a small piece of remote land that's undeveloped in Wyoming. Let's divide that land up into lots and tokenize it on chain. If we can make it through those steps, we can prove that building a network city on being owned by a decentralized DAO would work. And so we were going on that path. And, well, how do you raise that money? And the idea was, well, let's, with the DAO, let's have the DAO membership be NFTs and we'll sell these NFTs. We'll kick it off with the first citizen, then we'll do 50 founding citizens, and then 10,000 regular citizens over the next few years was the original thought. That's how long it would take to get that many. And so it was going to start with auctions. So first citizen was an auction. I saw this. I'm like, this is fantastic. I participated in it. I won. Part of that was, yes, wanting to invest early. I don't see it as an investment like that I'm expecting a return on. It's not that type of investment. It's more of an investment of, I want to give some money to this cause to see where it goes. And I want to set an example that like, this is going to be huge. People can follow this. These are worth something, these citizen tokens. So the auction, I think I won it for 6.5. That's quite a bit of money for an idea. I think I originally had a budget of 5 ETH, and like people often do in auctions, they get a bit carried away. And at the time I was like, oh, that's cool. That was quite a bit of cash. I think this is going to go somewhere. And then founding sold out pretty easily. And from there, it just kind of took off.
To what degree are you involved right now with the project and some of the community aspects? What is your sort of role now, if you have one, in CityDAO?
Yeah, I do. I mean, so the core team is still all part-time, right? I don't have an official title like you would see in a normal startup. I do participate in all the core team calls. I try to give some insight into other teams, dev, legal, LAM. We have all these different teams working on different things. I try to hang out in the broader Discord and just chat with people. I spend a lot of time working with other DAOs and other projects that could be of benefit to CityDAO. So something I'm thinking a lot about is the metaverse component to it. Like, what does the other side look like? Like, we're really focused a lot on the land side now and the physical space, but what does the metaverse space look like? What does the digital side of it look like? Yeah, so I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, it's just a great chance for people, these 10,000 holders like myself, to get to know you a little bit better and what you do. And you mentioned getting more involved with DAOs. Do you mean from a technical side or more from a leadership and consulting side? What are you doing right now as making the shift? What does that look like?
Yeah, what I need to do is narrow it down some more because I'm involved in too much. The two DAOs I spend the most time with are Proof of Humanity and CityDAO. And a bunch of other ones, I'm starting to spend more time in Mirror DAO. They're just starting out. They're in preseason to form the DAO. I participate technically sometimes. I don't think I'm the best coder anymore. I'm getting a little bit older. There's definitely people that can do it better than me. For example, in Proof of Humanity, I have spent a fair amount of time coding and working on products and contracts and stuff for that. I don't in CityDAO and I don't in other DAOs. So it's more of a leadership consulting type of perspective. I think at least in the DAO space, I apply good value by being involved in so many communities and learning so many lessons and trying to connect them together, make sure we don't repeat those, form a really good foundation for governance. These are the things that I'm super passionate about.
So if we connect, if we come back here on the vision of CityDAO, I mean, everything right now on the Discord and Twitter and media, it's all about building a city on the Ethereum blockchain, and phrase that however you like. That's really what it's about. And of course, we got this one parcel right now, and we're moving into project one and project two. And one thing that I don't see a ton about is, what does that long-term vision look like? When we say build a city on the Ethereum blockchain, well, what does that exactly mean? Are we talking an entire city of millions of people? And how does a DAO, and how could a DAO replace some of the existing political structure and governance models, and perhaps maybe remove a bunch of, let's say, for lack of a better word, middlemen in that process? What is your long-term vision for City DAO that you see in your mind?
You're going to paint me into a political corner there. I'll make a lot of friends and a lot of enemies. I don't have a long-term vision for CityDAO, and that's not out of lack of care. It's actually an abundance of care. I think, as we talked about before, it's a grand experiment. Like for me, what we're coming into in Web3, it's about so much more than the web. Like decentralization is, I believe, humanity's greatest tool against tyranny. Like it always has been, whether it was decentralizing knowledge through printing presses and Web2, now it's decentralized coordination. I think that it's humanity's greatest tool. And Web3 is really about decentralizing everything, putting things into the hands of more people, but being more transparent on how things work. I believe that future can manage society and better than we have in the past. So for CityDAO, it's that grand question of what does that future look like? How do decentralized governments work? How will decentralized organizations interact with each other? And as you mentioned, like, how do they interact with the physical world? Like, we'll always have geographic governments. We'll have to have that. We have to have somewhere to, I always say, park our meat while we're in the metaverse. Like, we have to have somewhere to live while we're doing that. So how are those things going to work together? Because the change is already beginning, but it's going to happen very quickly. The shift to Web3 and metaverse and decentralization. I think you're seeing it now with work the most. People are starting to work remotely. They're starting to work in a more asynchronous, decentralized fashion. I think COVID sped that up, but I also think that COVID hit it. So it's a little bit hidden because of COVID. It's masked, but it's happening very quickly. Maybe I'm getting off of your original question there. For me, there is no, oh yeah, CityDAO in 20 years, it's going to be this big shiny city in the middle of the desert. It's like utopia and perfect. It's not that. Really, it'll be something networked. It'll be something where the city itself is decentralized as the governance of it. It won't be one physical city in one location. It could be buildings all over the place, properties all over the place, including both in the physical world and in the metaverse. So we're just experimenting and figuring out as a DAO, as 10,000 people, where how we get to there and then what it's even going to look like. Because I don't think anybody could answer that.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I mean, it's a subject that needs to be asked and explored, and the answers are diverse. And I really appreciate your answer because we are a community. And ultimately, in my mind anyways, the community is going to make decisions that represents what the community wants. And as an individual, I don't know what that's going to be, right? And no one really does at all. And going back to this role of being a leader of a community, it's a grassroots community, it's about harnessing what is the community mass preference and letting it take shape on its own and guiding it, like herding it together and organizing it coherently to actually get there. So yeah, I don't know what this looks like either in the future. Back to that concept of us all being scientists. And then there's this blend again that we're touching on of what does leadership look like in a community and how do we really get there? Right now, there's a lot of interesting subjects on the table in the Discord. And anyone who's listening to this that's not a part of the Discord, there's a lot of ways to learn more about CityDAO. You can check out the website. You can read the show notes to this episode. There's going to be a detailed list of it. There's going to be links in the show note as well to different reference articles so you can research and learn more. And in the short term, there's a few challenges and also a few items that are being focused on to make progress on. And what do you see, Justin, as perhaps the short term? I hesitate to use the word challenges, but what do you see as the short term focus points that the community perhaps should take a look at and consider while they're, you know, making their decisions and voicing their opinions?
The processes of coordination. There's something we say a lot in sort of the core like crypto world, which is it's all about coordination. That's what all this is about, is just the ways to coordinate. And we're figuring out how to coordinate. We need more process on how we form groups and teams, how we propose things, how those proposals move through, I think is something that needs more focus. And in addition to that, you asked the challenges. I mean, one of the biggest short-term challenges for CityDAO will be how to operate legally in a world that has things like the SEC and all these scary organizations that really are historically sort of apprehensive to really modern approaches to things that they've been governing for a very long time. It's something that the core team itself, maybe part of what people don't see a lot of the time being spent now is working with attorneys, working with stuff and figuring out like, how do we continue towards a vision legally? Because we don't have the benefit that, like, for example, the DeFi space, it's all digital and the anonymous people found it. They work really hard to stay anonymous. There's no real point of attack for a government agency or something to come after. CDDAO is very different. CDDAO, most of us are doxxed. We're using our real identities. We have to, and we have to interact in the real world with, for example, the local government in Wyoming. So I think that's our biggest short-term challenge, is structuring the DAO in a way that it can operate in the old world while we're disrupting it.
Yeah, because anyone that's read the Wyoming state laws about owning an LLC and how that a DAO can essentially own an LLC, anyone who's read that article will see that it's both very exciting because it very clearly says DAOs can own an LLC or govern it. But it's also, you'll notice, very short. There's not a whole lot of case examples or if this or then that or definitions or, you know, descriptions. It's just, and so in one way, it enables DAOs to evolve and perhaps jump over the wall of that garden and enter the real world. And this is a very cool thing. And the other side, it presents almost a fear of, okay, well, if we do XYZ, is that going to get us in trouble or not? Because it's not particularly defined. And if we go ahead and take the step as pioneers, are we going to be applauded or attacked? And it's not really clear at all. And then it becomes a potentially expensive discussion nonstop with legal counsels, with opposing opinions that get into big conferences. How do you see DAOs moving forward in this essentially undefined space? How do we minimize risk in this?
It's a great question. This is something I have some background in even before DAOs, because a lot of my gaming experience was in what we call skilled gaming, which is not gambling, but is about as close as you can get and not be gambling in the US. Today, we all take things like DraftKings. We bet on fantasy sports online. We do these things and we take it for granted. But there was many years of that not being well defined. And I think the US in general likes to take the approach of finding the edges through precedents. So you're never going to get an answer from the SEC saying, oh, yes, you're a DAO, you're a Wyoming great, you're doing this. Yes, you can do that. You're never, ever going to get that from them. They're just not going to do it. Anybody that's been in the space, in the crypto space for a while and seen the battles that people have gone through asking for that, please just give us guidance and we'll follow it. You're just not going to get it. Like, instead, you're going to get, try to do your best, try to act above reproach. Maybe in 10 years, you'll get arrested at the airport when you're trying to travel. It's scary in a way. I think different leaders are taking a different approach on it. A lot of people are just taking the approach of leave the US, start something in Europe. There's a lot of places in Europe where they're being much more friendly and giving much more guidance to these things, and just IP blocklist the whole US. Don't let people invest in it. Don't let people buy the tokens, get the tokens, and just cut them out for now. They'll catch up later. I think this is really sad. Like, I'm an American. I think it's really sad that the United States is missing out on this by not giving guidance. So I think to not end in that never ending, for example, a CityDAO, we could definitely spend $100 million on attorneys and legal counsels and all kinds of things in 20 years. No problem. It would not be hard to do that. I think the best you can do is get some legal counsel, talk to them, look at any precedents that's been set, act above reproach, and to the best of your ability, and move forward. Like, that's all we can do as entrepreneurs when we push the envelope. There has to be risk there somewhere. If there's not, then you're probably not changing anything. I don't know if that answers your question, but...
Yeah, it does. It's a new space. It doesn't have full clarity. And we are just trying to get from where we are to what the future is. We're trying to break down that wall and get outside of the garden and have the real world be integrated with everything we're trying to do. And it's a scary thing, I think, for regulators in some regions more than others. And what is the solution? Well, we don't know either. So I hope that the United States makes some big progress on that in the near future. It'd be really cool to see that. And if there is a regulator listening to the show, you know, I hope that they would reach out, right? I really do hope that they would reach out in the Discord. Say hi to Justin, say hi to the dev teams, the core team, the founders, say hi to me, say hi to a citizen. Just join the Discord and get involved, right? Because there's not only a wall from the tech garden to the real world, there's also a wall between communities like this and regulators. And we need to bridge that somehow. And on both sides of the fence too, people that are in the DAO community that are in the Discord right now for CityDAO, I would encourage you guys to get more involved with city politics and learn about the processes and talk to regulators and just start conversations would be, if I had any advice anyways. Would you support that, or would you have a different advice that you want to add on to that as well?
I would support that wholly. I would say usually not the regulators, not that they're bad people, but they operate a certain way. I would say definitely politicians. local representation, federal representation. I think those are probably some of the best people to talk to. There are examples of this working really well in the crypto space. Coinbase, I think, is a good example. Coinbase came onto the scene in a time when you had Mt. Gox and you had all these fly-by-night sort of exchanges. They were getting shut down all the time. They were getting raided, all these problems. And Coinbase came in and they're like, there's not real clear definition of what's going on. Like, we're going to try our best. We're going to go after every state. We're going to spend a ton of money on lobbying and do our best. And they've done well. I mean, they're a public company now. Like, they went through that and they succeeded in operating in a very tricky area. Whether DAOs can follow that path, it's hard to say because we tend to be smaller and more decoupled. I don't think that you're ever going to have really mega DAOs. I don't think you're ever going to have the Coinbase of DAOs because of the very nature of the decentralization. In which case, do we form together? Right now, there's still not a lot of DAO to DAO coordination. There's no UN, maybe that's a bad example, but there's no union of DAOs. Like, I think at some point, we're going to need something like that, where we have a union of DAOs and we have joint representation to lobby, to talk to politicians, to show things. And I think people breaking out of the walled garden like CityDAO are in a perfect place to do that, right? Because we're operating in the world. Like, people are already like, oh my gosh, what is this thing that just bought land? It's not a person. It's not an organization. It's like some decentralized crypto. And as that grows, and CityDAO has obviously shown it's growing quickly, and we start buying more and more things, and we buy a skyrise in a big city, we buy like all these things, like it'll start to catch on more and people will be open to have those conversations.
So here's an idea, looping back to the subject of community-run organizations versus top-down leadership. We're in a position now, this because of the nature of a DAO, CityDAO is in a position where we don't have to rely on one person to do lobbying. We don't have to do the big budget spend, perhaps like Coinbase did that you mentioned, that was perhaps necessary in the old way of approaching. Imagine if every single citizen in the DAO this week reached out to a politician and started a conversation and said, hey, look, I just joined this thing. There's this project that's decentralizing governance of physical land. I want to talk to you about that. Imagine 10,000 people, no matter what city they are in right now or what region they're in, all 10,000 reached out right now and had a conversation with their local politician, whoever was accessible, doesn't matter who it is, and just start the conversation. And the second part would be ask questions that they don't know answers to. To me, in my mind, I think if you ask a question to a politician and you're looking for an answer and you kind of make them go and figure it out, now it's a spin-off, right? Now you have 10,000 conversations with 10,000 politicians that turns into 10,000 conversations with politicians to 10,000 other politicians. And how far does that spin out? And this is something that doesn't take millions of dollars to do lobbying with. It's something that the community can do in and of itself. So there's a little interesting thought subject for people listening here and for the community. Let's all go start a conversation. In fact, I actually reached out to a friend of mine who he went into the mayoral election here in Calgary. And so obviously in politics to some degree and has some connections. And we're going to sit down for coffee this week and talk about the project. He's never heard of it before. He doesn't know what it is. And the more I can tell him about it, the more it's going to transfer and bounce through, you know, his network that bounces through the next network. So yeah, that's an interesting call to action here. If everyone wants to do that, and it'd be cool to hear everyone's feedback. Once you reach out to a politician, have a conversation, tell us how it went, right? We'll maybe even start a thread in the Discord about how your conversation went and what did you learn about it? And what would the next step potentially be? That's kind of a spontaneous thought that came to my mind. You think that's a bad idea? Or
I think it's fantastic.
Okay, good.
If anybody wants to lead that, then message somebody, myself or somebody from Core on Discord, and we could use somebody to lead that effort and start to organize it and take that grassroots political type of approach. I love it. I think it's great. I think you're right. CityDAO is in a really good position to set an example with something like that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And my favorite part about this concept is that even this podcast, for example, is just an idea. You know, I just decided that I wanted to help and take initiative on something, and other people can take initiative on anything that you might be, you know, particularly keen or fond of as well, whether it's talking with politicians or, you know, fill in the blank, any other subject. Anyone listening to this can be a part of the Core movement and move it forward. And this is a good segue. I'm wondering now, back in the day when you were on this FOMO auction, perhaps, and you blew your budget by 1.5 ETH, you passed past the 5 barrier to 6.5. That was, in a way, it was a long time ago. In other ways, it's short. But as the saying goes, 24 hours in crypto is a year in the real world. So a lot of things have happened since that day. How do you feel today being the founding token holder, founding NFT holder? What does it mean to you now?
I don't know. A bit bashful about it. It's, in some ways, it's kind of weird when you have one, you know, first citizen and it's me. It's a bit strange. In other ways, it's exciting to see it gain so much steam, but it's also a bit stressful. There's a lot to figure out. As you mentioned before, we have so much to figure out on the coordination side, on the legal side. Like most successful things, you're not expecting them to happen so quickly. I think we were so excited when we got to the point where we had a couple $100,000 and we were going to be able to buy a piece of land and put a flag on it and tokenize it. And could we, would the tokens even sell with these things? And then it just all of a sudden was like, wow, like it just took off and kind of exploded. And I think that was fed by many things. I think it was natural. It was only a matter of time just because of the type of people that were getting involved and sort of what the mission and vision were. And I think also having some more celebrity type crypto people jumping in also brings a lot of hype and speculation, which isn't necessarily bad, is I think what really fueled that curve in the end.
Yeah. And if you had to put I hesitate to say prediction, but what do you think are some of the biggest steps that are going to pop up over the next 6 to 12 months? Let's just say it with DAOs in general. What does the world of DAOs potentially look like in the next 6 to 12 months here?
That's a really good question. I think you'll start to see a movement moving away from a direct sort of democracy where every single person is expected to vote on every single issue. And you're already seeing this. I think you'll start to see, don't get the pitchforks, but you'll start to see more of the older way of coordinating brought in, older ideas such as representative democracy or liquid democracy. I think it's really cool, like being able to delegate votes and then jump in and use your votes if you want to. But if you don't, somebody that you trust is representing you. I think you're going to start to see more of a shift to these sort of models rather than let's have every single person vote on every single thing. I also think you're going to see a shift in how DAOs are compensating people that contribute. That's a discussion right now we have in every DAO with every leader of every DAO talking about how do you compensate people. Some of the more successful community type DAOs, like Friends with Benefits and these, they've done a really good job of having enough money where they've hired people in more traditional salary, where they pay them a normal salary. I think that's fantastic. And then other DAOs have had a lot of success in just granting tokens. This is more of like the equity play. Obviously, as entrepreneurs, we love equity. We work for equity and we incentivize people with equity. But now you don't see a lot of more conventional type of equity plans like with vesting periods and cliffs and stuff like that. I think you'll start to see more. Oh, hey, you're going to come in. You're going to take this role. Great. We can pay you a little bit in a stable coin, but we'd also want you to have skin in the game. So part of the pay will be equity, but it'll be tied to a more traditional option plan of a vesting period and a cliff period. I think you'll start to see more of that because one of the challenges in the conventional startup world is hiring, right? Convincing people to join you, especially people that are in hot demand, like engineers. There's that joke in Silicon Valley, like you can go to a coffee shop, sit down and get a job somewhere else making 3 times as much and start there on Monday and quit your other job. And so conventional startups have had to go down the route of paying really high salaries, really big equity, and then like every perk you can imagine. Literally every perk you could ever imagine. I think DAOs are even more, this is amplified because, I mean, it's a matter of me switching Discords and I'm working for another DAO. And like somebody, I think most of the people in this space, like myself, we participate in a bunch of DAOs at once. We sort of ebb and flow into them. You have a risk of this, of losing institutional knowledge, like having to re-onboard people constantly. So how do you keep people attracted and engaged regularly, even if it's part-time? I think is going to become more and more of a challenge as there's more and more DAOs.
And everyone that's listening or anyone that's listening is looking for good resources on how can you learn more about DAOs and learn more about legal structures and learn more about technical governance and technical items. Do you have a couple of reference points or some resources that people should maybe look at and Google for?
Yeah, I could probably find some for you and give them to you for the show notes. I think the best resource is just jumping in. Anytime you're in such a cutting edge technology, there's not going to be a lot of structured sort of education on it. I think the absolute best education, and it's so easy with DAOs, is just go find some and join the Discords and hang out, join some, start one. Doesn't take much. There's more and more tooling now to easily deploy contracts and start DAOs. So yeah, I think the absolute best resource is just join one, join in. Don't be afraid. When you enter a DAO, it can be a little intimidating if you're new to it, to go into a DAO and be like, hey, I'm new, I want to do something, and putting yourself out there. It can be very intimidating, but do that. Do exactly that. Go to a DAO, find something that interests you and be like, hey, I want to help on that. Can I jump in? Can I be a part of this? And if nobody answers you, then it's probably not a good DAO anyways. if people answer you and they want you to get involved in stuff, then great, jump in and do that. That's what I would say is the best resource.
Well, thanks, Justin, again, and echoing your words about just diving in. You definitely dove in on this project and helped give it some initial momentum that it really needed. And look at it grow now. Look at it just take off. The Discord is so active and it's really fun to be a part of it, right? It's intellectually stimulating and it's just enjoyable as well. So thanks again on behalf of everyone here at CityDAO for taking the step forward, for taking the time to join us here on the show. We'll talk to you on the Discord, of course, and maybe we'll have you back on some key subjects in the future. Any sort of parting notes, anything on your mind just before we wrap up?
Nope. I look forward to the future serving with everybody. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah, guys, well, there'll be a bunch of show notes with some links and reference articles. We'll see you on the Discord. We'll see you taking action. Talk to your politicians, see how these conversations go. Take some initiative on some projects. See you in the Discord. Bye for now.